Welcome to another message from the Gospel according to Mark. We're in the 13th chapter. We're going to start again with number 30. We've done that many, many times. But we're talking about the end times, Islam and the Jews, because that's what this book is talking about here in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. We're reading it in Greek, translating it in English, and then we're going to look at it in the Amplified Bible also, which is an explained translation. Amen legohimen hote ume parelte hegenea haute makris uch hauta panta genete. Amen, or most affirmatively, again, I say to you, and I keep on saying to you all, that know not it may pass away this generation until these things all they may happen. We're talking about the end times. We're talking about a period of time after the church age, when God is going to bring Israel to her knees and back to Him. Because of two unconditional covenants, Israel has a place in the economy of God. The Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant. Those two covenants are unconditional. And one of the things in that covenant is that God's going to send His Messiah, and that He's going to call out His church, and it's going to be a Gentile church, according to Genesis, the 9th chapter. That goes way back, you know. And that this Gentile church will preach the gospel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and what we might say, until the end of the church age. The beginning of the church age was the dispersion of the Jews. At the end of the church age, we're going to have the regathering of the Jews. The dispersion was Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19. The regathering is Ezekiel 36, 20 through 24. The scrolls of Ezekiel. Ezekiel tells us that God has a plan for His Israel. Now, from here on, the generation that hears these words, that sees these things, that sees the rapture, that sees the culmination of the end times, it says in 2 Thessalonians that Israel will be deceived, the man of sin will rise, the man of sin. I wrote my doctor's thesis on the book of Revelation in 1980. And my standpoint at that time was totally different than it is right now. I did, as did everybody else, did at that time. It was a revised Roman Empire. Since then, I've learned a lot. I believe that the beast is exactly the false prophet, the Antichrist, and the beast are exactly what was prophesied to Muhammad, or Muhammad wrote down as prophecy. That in Islam there's going to be a beast, there's going to be a Mahdi, which is the exact lineage of Muhammad through his daughter, and that he'll have the literal spirit of Muhammad in him. The Bible says that the Antichrist will be a seed of Satan, the seed of Satan. Genesis 3:15, that he's going to be a real man, but his father is going to be Satan. And he's going to come into the world, he's going to be able to deceive many. The book of Revelation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, we've quoted from all of these Old Testament, Joel, we've quoted from just about all of the book of Genesis on. The prophecy of Jacob. In the end of the book of Genesis was quite a prophecy. Told the whole history of the world that would come. He said that that a ruler would not depart between Judah's knees until Shiloh come. And we know that Jesus was supposed to be on the throne after his earthly father Joseph that should have been on the throne. But Antony and Cleopatra had placed Herod the Great on the throne. And he built a great temple, and the Jews loved him for it. There were the Herodians, there were the Hellenistic Jews, there were the Pharisees, there were the Sadducees. They had all of these different groups, and even the Sicarii. And all of them lined up to get rid of Jesus. Today, we have religions of every shade and form. Judaism was a real problem in the early church, in the early church age. They killed as many Jews, Christians, as they could. Pontius Pilate made a confession of faith. He witnessed to his father-in-law, Tiberius Caesar. Caesar supposedly was a convert, according to historical evidence. He did his best to protect the early Christians. Now, the Christians have had a hard time all the way down. They, in the church age, when the church and the state became one under Constantine, the true Christians had a hard time. Constantine, we have the Council of Nicaea, which everybody says is really nice and everything else. But the only problem with all that is that you could only have a certified church in one church in each city. And the churches that did not agree with what would become what had become the Church Catholic were persecuted. We see all this down through here. We find Muhammad is born in 570 A.D. After he died in 632 A.D., Islam had adopted a political position. Muhammad didn't do very well as a prophet, but he did real well as a warlord. And he supported his group by raiding and murder and killing. The kidnapping. Slaughter. That's exactly what Catholicism had been doing at that time. Conversion by the sword. Now, Islam today says there is no coercion, there is no force in religion. That was Muhammad's statements when he was a prophet or an apostle in Mecca. When he went to Medina, he changed the story. That all of those verses were abrogated. Then it was conversion or death. And before Muhammad died, he absolutely declared war on all the world, all religions in the world, and said, "Do not quit fighting jihad until the whole world is converted." Now we see that Christians ran from the Catholic Church and Christians ran from Islam. What became the Mennonites and the Baptists and the Amish were run all the way out of Turkey and all through up in Europe, up in the valleys of the Piedmont, into Germany, and basically everywhere. All they wanted to do was the world to leave them alone and let them serve their God. And they studied the Bible. And in the history of the churches of the Valley of the Piedmont, they said they had some of the original autographs of the scriptures. And Catholicism went in there and burned and killed and even cannibalized the women. That's what happened. Now, through the church age, people thought that the end of the world was coming. Can you imagine a Baptist living in the valleys of the Piedmont, what became the Waldenses? Can you think what they thought when the Catholic Church came after them and their women were being raped and pillaged and even eaten? They roasted their breasts and ate them. They stuck poles and staffs right up their private areas, up into their bodies, and they would hang there dead, and they would march them around naked as trophies of war. Burn them alive, mutilated them, skinned them, and made little dainties out of their skins. These are wicked, wicked things. Can you imagine what you would have thought if you would have been Baptist? The harlot of Revelation is here. This is it. The end of the world is here. Well, a lot of things have come and gone since then. I don't holler, "The end time is here," very much. I talk about fulfilled scripture and things like that. When the Lord comes back, who knows? And that's exactly what these next verses are going to tell us. But these verses are to Israel at the end times. After the rapture of the saved and the church, all hell is going to break loose on earth. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. He's going to make a covenant with the Jewish people, and they're going to allow them to build a temple in Jerusalem. On the other hand, Islam says, and I believe that is the opposing force, the harlot of Babylon. That's Babylon, all right? Really? We tried to replace that with people think that New York City is the Babylon. They think that the Church of Rome is Babylon. I'll tell you what, Babylon is Babylon. You go back in time and you look at the prophecies of Muhammad. He said that at the end of time, that his relative, his descendant, the Mahdi, would come forth. He'd be 40 years old when he would become a reluctant leader and people would swear allegiance to him. That he would be helped by a beast. The Mahdi would come out of Assyria. The beast is going to come out of Arabia down by Mecca. And then we have Isa, the false Jesus of Islam. Nothing like the Bible, Jesus of the Bible. Muhammad tried to take all the attributes of Christ as intercessor. His name means the glorious one, the praised one. When they say his name, they say, "Peace be upon him." "Peace be upon him" is a not very good translation. It means, "May Allah praise him." The praised one. Jesus is the only perfect human being that ever lived in this world. He was born of a virgin. He was born without the sin nature. Through the blood of God. Every man that's born in this world has the blood of his father. And that gives him the sin nature. But Jesus didn't have the blood of the human father. All over the world, the Muslims say that the most perfect human being, the only sinless man that ever lived, the most perfect human being that ever lived was Muhammad. That's blasphemy. That is blasphemy. Jesus is our comforter. He is our advocate, that is. He is our go-between. He is our Savior. Muhammad said that he had a revelation from Allah that he's going to stand by. He was going to be there. Allah was going to be on the throne. He's going to be right there making intercession and helping to judge. The Bible says that Jesus will be the judge. That he will sit on the right hand of the throne of God. And it's not all. The mark of the beast. Now, if you're Jewish, you better listen to this, because you're going to see this stuff if you're not saved. The mark of the beast. Mark of the beast. Is going to be the name of the beast. Now, the confession of faith of Islam is, there is no God but Allah. He has no companion, and Muhammad is his messenger. There could be nothing more blasphemous than that. It says his name is a name of blasphemy. That's a confession of faith of Islam. Now they say that Christians praise and raise Jesus, a man, above God or equal with God. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Jehovah means he who shall become. In John 1:14 it says, Kind of logo starts again. And the Word, fleshy, became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then it says, no, and verse 18 it says, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. The Jews rejected Jesus Christ, and they deserved their dispersion. They earned it. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children, and it has been, except that Abrahamic and the Davidic covenant will stand. God will use them again. Now, let's go on and see what God has got to say to these people that are going to live in this generation when they see all of this happening. The Bible says when you see these things begin to happen, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draws nigh. That's to us. That's to the saved. But when you see these things begin to happen, when you're a Jew and you're an unbeliever, all of a sudden you're going to see a lot of people gone. And there will be a great revival, what you might say, at that period of time, right after the rapture. But the Holy Spirit will be gone. The Comforter will be gone, that has kind of held back and dampened the works of Satan. He's going to be turned loose. He's going to take and turn loose from the bottomless pit. There are going to be horrible demons and fallen angels turn loose on the earth. And he's going to work with this false religious system. And they're going to deceive many. Now let's see what these words are from verse 13:31 in Mark. Ho uranos kai hege paralusonte hoe de logoi mu u paralusonte. It says, the heaven and the earth, they shall pass away, but the words belonging to me, not they shall pass away. It's Jesus' words. Those words won't pass away for himself. I believe there's going to be Bibles in that tribulation period. I think they're going to be sacred books. I think they're going to be something very special, like they were to the Baptists in the Dark Ages. The Catholic Church had forbidden the Bible, had forbidden the Word of God. They did not want anyone to have the Bible in the original languages, the Greek and the Hebrew. It's a miracle that we got it today. They burned people and their scriptures. They burned the people and the scriptures. They piled the scriptures around and piled wood around and set them on fire with those victims that were adherents to that word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. They shall pass away, but not my words. That's Jesus' words. His words is the whole Bible, Genesis through Revelation. He's the one that inspired it all. 13:32. Peri de tes hemeras ekaines, he tes oras, udes uden ude, hoi angeloi, in urano, Ude ho huios eme ho pater. Moreover, concerning the days that and the hour, no one he knows, or he has known, neither the angels in heaven, neither the Son. Now the Son does know it today. These are when Jesus was speaking. He wasn't glorified yet. Today he knows when he's coming back. I guarantee you, it's going to be right on time. Except the Father. Jesus Christ, the man, did not know at this point in time what he knows today. He was God and he was man. He was our Redeemer. He was our Goel. He was our kinsman. Let's go on a little further. 13:33. Blepete agripnete uk udate gar pote ho kairos estin. You heed, you watch. Be very watchful. Very watchful. For not you know when the time, the season, it is. Now the word estin there on the end is in, it's in double brackets, so it wasn't there. You don't know when the season is. There's going to be a season. There's a church age, which is a season. There's a tribulation period, which is a season. We don't know when this season is going to come. All we know is that the players are out there. I think that the scene is set. The coming, I can't tell you any month, year, decade or anything about when the Lord's going to come back. I never have been able to, nor will I. But I can just tell you the players are in place. The Lord's church is in the Laodicean church age. We're in a mess. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ look like the world, smell like the world, taste like the world. In the last days, Laodicea, and they do that which is right in their own eyes. Churches have become entertainment centers. Billy Graham said that he doubted that 20% of Southern Baptists were actually born again. That's quite a statement. He wasn't senile when he said that. He saw what was happening out there. Look at our churches. Look at what they are today. It's a wonder people get saved at all. They're what we call user-friendly. We don't want you to think you're a sinner and terrible person. Just come on down and join the church. Accept Christ. I don't say that. The Bible is not user-friendly. The Bible is user-angry. God's angry at you people. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God is angry with you. Because you are rejected His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that whosoever that He sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God is angry at you if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior and repented of your sins. We get caught in sin all the time, people. You live in a body. But it shouldn't make you feel good when you want to sin if you're born again. Now, if you're out there in law, you can sin all you want to. That's your nature. But a child of God, when he has been born again, his nature is not to sin, not to wallow in it. You're not going to be happy living in sin. Watch. Israel, watch. This is for you, Israel. If you're a Jew out there today and don't know the Lord, you're going to have to do this. Maybe if these sermons stay out there after the rapture, and Randall always thinks, well, the Antichrist will take them down. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. But maybe they'll be floating out there in the ether someplace. People can still hear this message. This is a very important message if you're a Jew. This is a very important message. This is a very important message to you if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. This playing church is not enough, people. Playing church isn't enough. Have you come to the point of time in your life that you know that you're undone with Christ? You've got to believe, first of all, that Jesus is the way. He is God's Son, that He is His only propitiation we have. He's our only atonement that we have. You can't do anything good enough to get to heaven. Jesus is our only hope. You believe that God sent His Son into the world, that He lived a perfect life. He is the only perfect man that ever lived. It's not Muhammad. He's the only perfect man that ever lived. He is our only Redeemer. He is our only Advocate. He is our only Intercessor. And He's the only way. No man can come unto the Father except by Him. Have you believed in your life? Is there a time when you repented of your sins and asked the Lord to save your soul? Do you remember the time that you did that? You need to. That should be the most important thing in your life. So many people go to vacation Bible school, and half of them go down there and be saved. A whole bunch of them go down and be saved. I talked to a woman here a few years ago that did that. And she lived her whole life lost, scared to death of eternity. A Sunday school teacher, a minister's wife, a faithful servant in the church, and lost. Lost as the demons of hell. She called me on the phone. She said, "I think you can answer any question I got. I heard you preach on the internet." I said, "Well, what's wrong?" And she said, "I am unhappy. I am on my way to hell, I believe, and there's no hope, and I think I don't think that I have got a hope of salvation. My husband says I'm all right. My pastor says I'm all right, but I don't feel all right. I just know I'm going to hell." Well, I said, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ, your Savior?" "Oh, absolutely." She said, "I believe that God gave His Son, that He died, and He was buried, and He rose again." I said, "That's good." Now, I said, "Is there a time in your life when you asked the Lord to save your soul and forgive you of your sins and repented of your sins?" She said, "I went to vacation Bible school." I'm not putting down vacation Bible school, but people, be careful. That is a very dangerous tool. She said, "I have never, ever really repented of my sins. I was very young. I didn't know anything about sins yet. But," she said, "I do now." I said, "Well," she said, "I don't think I've got any hope. I think I've sinned. I've listened to the gospel. I think I'm gospel hardened. I don't think there's a hope for me at all. I think I'm going to hell." I said, "Well, why are you talking to me?" "Because I figured you could tell me something. Maybe you could help me." I said, "Well, how hard was it to find me?" And she said, "Well, it wasn't easy. I called Sermon Audio, and I called this person. I called the church, and they didn't want to give me your phone number or anything. And I begged them and begged and begged them. They finally did." I said, "All right. How come you did that? Why did you do that?" She said, "I'm really troubled." I said, "Why are you troubled?" "Because I'm going to hell." I said, "Why do you think you're troubled? Do you think the Holy Spirit might be dealing with you?" "Yeah, maybe." "Okay." I said, "Would you like to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul and forgive you your sins right now and for rejecting Him all these years?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I would." And she did. And she was happy. Because now she got to go to heaven. She was a pastor's wife. She was a Sunday school teacher. She was a church member. And now she gets to go to heaven. And it wasn't because she's a pastor's wife. It wasn't because she's a church member. It wasn't because she's a Sunday school teacher. It's because she repented of her sins and asked Jesus Christ to save her soul. That's the only reason. Let's go on a little further now. Hos anthropos, apodemos, athes, teis, oikion, auto kai dos tois, dulois, auto tein, exousion, hekasto, to ergon, auto kai, to theroro. Ene telato, hina gregore. Just as a man from home leaving the house of him, and having given to the bond slaves, doulos. Now this word bond slave here, I'm gonna tell you a little something about this. The mark of the beast. Those people that take the mark of the beast are going to take his name, and they're going to display his name on their arm and on their forehead. Now, Islam means to surrender, to submit. the word doulos here, and that kragma, that mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, the mark belonging to the beast, the therion. That mark of the beast is going to be like that kragma. You were branded. People were branded with a mark of their master when they were owned as slaves. They did that in American places. But in the biblical times and in early church history, people were branded. And that brand said that I belong to George or St. Peter or whatever. King George or Prince Peter or whatever. I belong to them. I am their servant. The Muslims say they are servants of Allah. Get it? The bond serves of him and the authority. To each the work of him. And to the doorkeeper he commanded that he should be awake, should watch. The name Gregory comes from this word here. This is Gregore. Gregory means to be watchful. Gregorio. You may should be watchful. This is what we call a futuristic subjunctive. You become watchful and awake. Now let's go back and read up to here in the Amplified. Surely I say to you, this generation, now talking about the Jews in that end times, the whole multitude of people living at that one time positively will not perish or pass away before all these things take place. Heaven and earth shall perish and pass away, but my words will not pass away, Jesus said. But the day and of that hour, and single person knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard. Constantly alert and watch and pray, for you do not know when the time, when the season shall come. Verse 34. It is like a man already going on a journey. Now, Israel was an unfaithful, slothful servant. Say that again. Israel was an unfaithful, slothful servant. Jesus told them, you did not know the hour of your visitation because you did not watch. You did not watch. Jesus was born exactly the right time. He rode in on that donkey in Jerusalem exactly the right day that was prophesied. Like a man already gone on a journey, when he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, and each with his particular task, and he gives orders to the doorkeeper to be constantly alert and on the watch. Israel didn't do it. They failed God. Now this time, there's a whole lot more on the balance. Two out of every three Jews are going to be killed in this world, and five out of every six Gentiles. This is quite a deal. This may be my last message for this year, of 2017. It's a 252nd message. I might do one more. I love preaching God's Word because I know I'm right square in the middle of His will when I'm doing it. That's what the Lord wants me to do. What does God want you to do in your life? What place do you have in the economy of God? I hope that you know the Lord. I hope you don't have to go through this deal. I hope if you're a Jew today that you will surrender your life to the Savior that your people crucified. Let's look at a couple of more verses now. 35. Gregoreke un uk hodate gar pote ho krios. Tes oikos erkete e opse e mesinikion. E alitro rofonias e tri me elton exephanes. Hire himas kate deltes. Watch, Gregory. It says Gregorio. That's Gregory. That's the Greek, gorete, second person plural present, imperative active. Do it. Therefore you watch. Not you understand and know when the Lord of the house, he may come for himself. Either late, opse, a mesonikteon, in the middle of the night, or at the cock crowing, or early, not having come as suddenly, that was out of a sound, suddenly, kaboom, like a rifle shot. He has found you sleeping. Go back and look at this. Alektrophonios. That's the crowing of a rooster. Now, roosters are God's special creation. Roosters are God's cuckoo clocks. They're God's alarm clock. They are God's timepiece. A rooster crows at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock, 24 hours a day. They crow every 3 hours. The cuckoo clock, okay. They'll crow at midnight, they crow at 3 a.m., they crow at 6. When Jesus told Peter, you are going to deny me before the three times before the cock crows twice, he said exactly when he was going to do it, and that night. You're going to deny me between 9 a.m. and 3 a.m. Exactly. 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. You are going to deny me, Peter, before the cock crows. You'll deny me three times before the cock crows twice. That was a God's alarm clock. They didn't have timepieces back then, but they had roosters. That's God's clock. 37. Whole day him man lego, passe lego, gregorete. Moreover, to ye I say, to all I say, watch. Not talking about those apostles there, but the people that the apostles were related to, the Jews. And all the other people, all the Gentiles, all those infidels that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Let's read this now in the Amplified Bible and apply it to our minds, our hearts, and who we are. This next year, which starts at midnight tonight, 6 hours from my time right now, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Are you going to watch? Now, this doesn't apply to you if you've been born again. But it does. We are servants of the Lord today. What we do today is forever. It is eternally important what you do with your life. It's where you're going to stand with the Lord. And I didn't say salvation. If you're born again, if you ask the Lord to save your soul and forgive your sins, you're guaranteed heaven because of Jesus. But what are you going to do? You're rewarded for what you do if you do it correctly. What has God got for you to do? Are you going to give to the church? Are you going to support the church with your presence? Are you going to a local New Testament visible local New Testament church? Are you going to preach? Are you going to teach? Are you going to just sit there and be an inspiration for everybody else? The last shall be first and the first shall be last. I think a lot of those people, those church members and pews that are there every time that give, that are there and can be counted upon, are going to get the greatest rewards in heaven. Some of us preachers get our rewards now. Especially those that are praised greatly. What are you going to do? Therefore watch and give strict attention. Be cautious and alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight, or at the cock crowing or in the morning. Watch, I say, lest you be suddenly and unexpectedly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to everybody, give strict attention to, be cautious, active, alert, and Gregorio, watch. Our Father, I send this message out tonight. Help me to be a better leader. Help me to be a better pastor. Help me to be a better teacher this coming year. You've given me strength through fatal diseases, through poisonings, through contracts on my life. And I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's what I'm trying to do right now. Give me the strength, the courage, and the ability to continue to do this. Father, and I pray that this message will touch people's hearts out there, that it'll make it and give them new light and a new resolution of what their lives will be for you. If they're lost, that you will convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come with your Spirit. If they're a Jew, that you'll lead them to the house of God. If they're Muslim, that they will give up their foolish religion and come to you. It may cost them their life. It will if they're in a Muslim country. In Jesus' name I ask this, and forgive me where I fail you. Amen.